Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Welcome back, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. We're really excited that you are here with us. And today we're going to introduce our series on sexuality. Are you excited, Caitlin?
Oh, of course I'm excited. This is a topic we don't get to touch very often in our church, or we choose not to touch very often. So I am super excited to have this conversation with you, Jose. And I'm excited for all the people who've tuned in. I think we're going to have a good talk today.
Yeah, I think so too. We have some material coming up for you guys, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it a lot. But before we get too deep into it, Caitlin, tell us what you did over the holidays.
Yeah, over this holiday, wow, it was fantastic, Jose. First of all, just getting a break from work and class was wonderful. But I actually just finished up the second annual AcampbellCon, which I talked about earlier this year in a podcast. This is something that Acampbell Consultants, which is a company that I'm a part of, something that we've put on. This is our second year putting on this board game convention, and it was a lot of fun just meeting people and deepening relationships. Even ended up having some good opportunities to talk about faith and spirituality and trust in God, all kind of as a result of playing games together. So it was a really good time. Now, how about you, Jose? You doing anything exciting? Anything happy or fun that you did over the holiday season?
The funnest thing that I did was I went to Disney World in Orlando.
Ooh.
I went to Disney World. I've been moving, so that's pretty much all my holiday. I've been moving from place to place. Went from Michigan to Southern Georgia, where I'll be located from now on. If any of our listeners are in the South, just hit me up. We're going to go record you. So just let us know. But I was in Florida for a good part of it. I went to Awaken Conference. Awaken Conference, that's something that happened in Carolina. It was fun. It was good. We actually had like a white party dress, like, you know, whatever. And like, I think it was called the chic party. It was kind of interesting. After the conference, it was kind of interesting. I was not expecting that, but it was like a lot of fun stuff. We played Jenga, like life-size Jenga.
Ooh, nice, nice.
And there was Mario Party. So there was Mario Party. So that was fun too. I got to see a couple of friends. I saw Caleb Isley from Humans of Adventism. Shout out to Caleb. If you haven't listened to his podcast on our, you know, our feed, just go down a couple of podcasts, you'll find him. And I saw Ryan Becker from Absurdity Podcast as well. Shout out to Ryan as well. I did a couple of things, you know, enjoyed, and I ate a lot of food. You know, that's what the holidays are for.
Yeah, it would be a sad holiday if you did not eat some good food.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy that I got some good food. But let's get to the topic for today. So, Caitlin, tell us, what's sexuality in your view?
Wow, that is a really big question. What is sexuality? I think when we talk about sexuality, it encompasses a lot of different aspects. So we have this base assumption, this base idea of attraction, of perhaps gender roles, of you've got the idea of the original plan for God's people, for procreation. Song of Solomon comes to mind. There's lots of different aspects and things that kind of come to mind when I think of sexuality. But honestly, the first thing that really jumps to my mind as we're talking about sexuality in a religious podcast, in a podcast related to the Adventist Church, first thing that comes to my mind is that this is something that doesn't get talked about very often. I was teaching a senior Bible class at one of our high schools back west, and the on the day that, or the week that I was spending that I had set aside to specifically talk about sexuality and the Bible and life choices, I started by asking my high school seniors, what have you heard about sex from the church? And what do you think were their responses, Jose?
Pretty sure they said nothing.
Yeah, I got like two main responses. I had kids who said, we've heard nothing about sex from the church. And then the other response was, we've heard, don't do it. And that's about it. Is either it's absolutely silent or don't have sex. And which is why I'm really excited that we are having this series, because unfortunately, I think we have kind of sequestered this topic away. We have attached it to some taboo connotations, and so we end up limiting our conversation on sexuality, and that conversation can just be completely vacant, as some of these kids have said, or it can be reduced down to a very simplified answer of what to do with it or how to engage with it. So I'm really stoked that we're even talking about this, because I think that sexuality is something that God gifted humanity with. And anything that is a gift from God has the potential to be twisted by sin, but is not inherently sinful. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that I think we've kind of put some bad labels on because we're in a broken world. But I think there's a lot of goodness and there's a lot to dissect and understand in the topic of sexuality. What do you think, Jose?
I definitely resonate with that. I think it's very, very important that, you know, we discuss this topic. It doesn't get touched on a lot, you know, sadly, but I think it's the prime time, you know, especially with youth and young adults. It's something that we need to touch on, you know, we need to guide them. They have questions. And if we stay silent, where are they going to get their wisdom from, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about this series as well. And alluding to that, we have an episode on that in this series called Sex Talk. So, but I didn't do that one. Caitlin did. So tell us a little bit about that episode, Caitlin. What happens? Just give us like a short ad for that one specifically.
Yeah, you'll definitely want to tune in for Sex Talk with Jose Gonzalez. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. I sat down with Jose a little while back, and we talked about just how we as a church can make strides forward in positive conversation about sex. And a lot of it honestly starts at home. It starts with how parents can discuss content that is perhaps a little uncomfortable for them at first, but discuss topics that ultimately allows kids to learn from a young age in a very appropriate context. And by that I mean, we have, with the age of technology we have right now, kids can learn anything about anything, and a lot that they're learning from the internet is not going to be taught in a very kind or positive or God-affirming way. And so we'll hear from Jose about this concept of how parents can begin engaging with their kids even at a young age in a way that can help them be edified in a godly perspective on sexuality. That's just give a little snippet on that. We talk about a whole lot more, but I think that's kind of at the core that we can start examining and something that you can look forward to.
Yeah, and I think that's like the first step, you know, as you said, as I said, and as Jose is going to say in like the next episode, that's the important thing. Just talk about it. You know, if there is something that you want to know when it comes to sexuality, the first step is just to talk about it. And that's what we're doing this. Kind of like, you know, something that the church doesn't talk about as well is LGBTQ relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a wide spectrum. We are not going to have a full series on this, Yet. So this one in sexuality is not going to focus on that, on that group of people, on that community, you know. A lot of people say LGBTQ issue, you know, and I hate it when people say that, because it's like, at the end of the day, like, you know, when you think of this, it's like saying, oh, you know, how would you like it if they will say the heterosexual issue, you know, like, these are people that have social, you know, needs. They have just, they're people, you know, and at the end of the day, they have a sexual preference that may be different than ours, you know, and I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about that, but we're definitely planning for the future a series on a full LGBTQ conversation and IA, of course, like, you know, you have different, different aspects, you know, the questioning, asexual, intersex, you know, pansexual, all of these things. But Caitlin, what have you heard from the church when it comes to this respect? You lived in the Pacific Northwest, which is a more, I guess, progressive, you know, area politically. But are churches over there having conversations, you know, maybe about sex or maybe about, you know, LGBTQ, pornography? What are they having over there? Like, is it the same than, you know, the other parts of America or, like, you know, the white representation?
Well, I think no matter where you go in the United States, if you are staying within an Adventist subculture, you're going to experience some tension in the area of LGBTQ+. I really appreciate your comment on language of how calling this an issue kind of is dehumanizing to this whole population. And I think, honestly, I think language and communication can really make or break this situation that we are in, where we're facing this tension. Something that I think I've gotten to see out in the, I'll admit, yeah, Pacific Northwest, I come from a more more progressive, more, dare we say, liberal part of the country. And there is definitely an emphasis, like I said, wherever you go, I think you're still going to experience some tension. But I would say that there's definitely more of an emphasis on simply caring for the individual. And that can mean just not engaging in the topic with someone who identifies as LGBTQ+, right? For better or for worse. I mean, that kind of pays off in one respect, because traditionally when we've engaged in conversations with one another in the church, it's been kind of volatile. The way in which we communicate with each other, our messages, like the idea of love the sinner and hate the sin. We have individuals within our church that have used that to a great extent, and yet that can be perceived in such a painful way. I think it's a phrase that's used in a way that's meant to be kind, but that phrase isn't, to my understanding, that's interpreted as being very painful. And so, like, yeah, this idea of language, of the message that I might mean, if I use the words that I intend to use, the message that I'm trying to mean is probably not going to get across unless I spend some time in empathy thinking about how those words might be interpreted.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, when we say this whole, like, hate the sin, not the sinner. getting it right there. Getting it wrong. But so hate the sin, but love the sinner. That's kind of like, you know, that's, I don't even know if that's possible. You know, like, sure, we hate sin. Hey, nobody likes the effects of sin and the things that it does to us, the things that it makes us do. But I think that we need kind of like a redefinition of like how we operate and how we understand sin, you know, because especially when it comes to a conversation of sexual preference and sexual behavior, they're very two different things, you know, and a lot of people damage other people because of their preconceived ideas.
Completely.
And yeah, I think that definitely we need to, I mean, starting the conversation, that's why, like, you know, I love the episode on sex talk that's coming out, because it's like, that's where it starts. Like, you know, having a conversation, having an honest conversation with another person, you know, and saying like, I don't have all the, you know, understanding. I don't have all the power to say what's wrong, what's right. I don't have authority. I mean, like, the Bible is there and I'm going to base myself out of that. But let's study it together. You know, let's analyze all the arguments. Let's, you know, see what the Bible says for itself. And, you know, let's take the experts' opinions into account too, you know. So, yeah, I think that that whole idea of love the sinner, hate the sin, it's used kind of like to damage. At the end of the day, it's just sometimes used to damage people.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having a conversation with them, because it assumes that I know what the sin is, you know?
Right.
And sometimes we don't know what the sin is, because it's like, for example, this is a loaded question and we're definitely going to deal with this in a future series, but is identifying, you know, as a gay individual, let's say, like, I say I'm gay, is that a sin? Or is it that the actions that I do, is that the sin? You know, and the Bible, I think, is clear on that. Like, you know, when it says that, you know, there should not be laying down of men with men, or, you know, other passages that may be a little bit obscure or whatever, but at least it speaks to the idea of practices, you know, because, like, I think the Bible is very clear that it shows that it is important to consider the practices, because sure, your thoughts are evil and that's a sin too, right? You know, if our thoughts are evil, that's a sin. But at the end of the day, all of us will be guilty all the time, every day, and every single time, you know, if we were judged by that measure. So I think deeds, it's not that they count more, but, like, deeds have, like, you know, kind of like a different framework to operate, you know, because, I mean, I personally don't think identifying necessarily has, you know, like a sinful inherent idea. What do you think about that?
Well, in general, I tend to, in tense areas like these, I tend to err on the side of, I am going to love and care for this person who is in front of me. And if there is convicting to be done, I'm going to let God do the convicting. Whatever that looks like. But until God gives me a clear word of what to say otherwise, my job is to love and care for this person and let them know that God wants them to be a part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's a balanced approach, I think.
Yeah. Again, I am from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. At the same time, as you say that, you know, something that I really think is just the value of letting God decide, you know, like, who am I to judge? You know, like, at the end of the day, God is the one that judges. God is the one that, you know, does everything. We're only here to carry the word. And when you're talking about caring for other people, I think that's the thing that sometimes we forget, when it's like, love the sinner, hate the sin. We sometimes place a lot of emphasis in hate the sin, but not in love the sinner, you know, like, care for it, for him or her, not for it. But yeah, care for the person, you know, and guide them through and walk with them, you know, and through their journey. And I think that's very, very important. Now, also, I think another thing is, like, being intellectually honest. And, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, you know, if you identify as homosexual, you can still change, you can still do these things. And I think something that's very important to realize is that there's a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, no one is a pure heterosexual, for example. You know, like, it's a spectrum. Like, you know, what does it even mean to be pure heterosexual or pure homosexual or pure pansexual or pure, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, It's just like weird things that we make up in order to make camps, you know, and instead of, like, making bridges. There it is. A Campbell Consultants making bridges through games, right?
Hey, that's right.
But yeah, you know, like you guys have that analogy of like, instead of like making like a black and white, for example, in your case, like I love games or I hate games, it's like, oh, let's connect those and see where we can meet each other, you know, somewhere in the middle, somewhere to the right, somewhere to the left, like, you know, wherever it is, as long as, of course, you don't compromise your values, your principles, and, you know, the Bible as a whole.
You also, you mentioned a spectrum, and that makes me think of a variety of different reactions that individuals have had to their experience with queer or homosexuality. Because there are stories of people who have been in intense prayer and commitment and conviction, and they will give testimony that God has changed their hearts and has brought them into a heterosexual lifestyle. And then you also have people who have very, very sincerely sought the very same thing, and they have not experienced the same result. And I think sometimes we, in the past, we in the church have done some finger pointing and blaming of like, oh, you just didn't want it bad enough. You didn't pray hard enough. Mm. And I think we need to acknowledge that there's a spectrum of experiences too. And of course, I am saying all this, I'm coming from a place of heterosexuality, and to my friends on the LGBTQ plus spectrum, please deal graciously with me, because I want to understand, I want to do my best to communicate positively and with understanding. So I acknowledge that even as I'm talking, there may be deficits in my understanding. So but as coming from my perspective, it seems that there is much more murkiness than we like. We'd like to say, like you said, we want labels. Humanity tends to want things cut and dried and say, you are this, you are that. And rarely is it ever that simple, it seems.
I agree. It's never that simple. And when you mentioned that, I really, really have seen that, you know, just this idea that, hey, you didn't want it bad enough. And it's like, wow, who are you to say that? You know, like, were you there in the prayer, you know, when this person struggled for like 6 months, and, you know, that's just not who they are. What about maybe helping them now that, hey, you know, they understood that, you know, they don't want to change their sexual orientation, but they may not want to have the sexual practices, and they may want to come into the church and adhere to, you know, what we will say is the biblical standard. Let's help them through that instead of saying like, you should pray, you should go back to pray hard enough. And it's just like, who are we to say that? You know, like that's the thing that comes to mind. And, you know, when it comes to that, this is another topic that we're going to be dealing in the series. And this is a topic of pornography. You know, that's another topic that it doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, and right now I think we're making progress, you know, as we go. Society as a whole is trying to talk about it more. It's just such like a secret thing, you know, like it's something that you do. And something that I've found, especially, you know, I personally went through a period of time in which I was addicted to pornography, you know, and I'm transparent about that. I like to tell people, not necessarily because, like, you know, I'm proud of it, but because I know how hard it is to get rid of it, you know. And a lot of people just, you know, when I was going through this period of time where I was addicted, you know, a lot of people were just pray and it's got to go away. And, you know, I prayed and I was just tempted. And, you know, I just, you know, I continue to pray, but it didn't go away for me. But then, like, you know, I started to realize that it was a choice. Like, you know, and in this specific, I'm definitely not correlating this with LGBTQIA. So not making a direct correlation, but with pornography, for example, you know, which was a problem for me. I started to decide not to, you know, indulge in this practice because I wanted to remain whole for my future spouse.
Hmm.
You know, and it's not to say that I don't have temptations or I don't have, you know, moments of weakness in which I'm tempted to go and indulge in the behavior again. But it is to say that it's not just like, oh, pray it away, you know. It doesn't happen like that for everyone. Sometimes you need counseling and you need, you know, someone to walk you through the steps and help you through the journey, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are many people that are, again, afraid of coming out and telling and talking about all of these different topics because we don't have a culture that embraces sexuality and sex talk as a foundational principle, like, you know, for our conversations about, you know, these important topics, marriage, singleness, and other, you know, like lifestyles, you mm-hmm. know?
And I think as we refrain from that conversation, that makes it difficult, of course, like you said, it makes it difficult for us to come forward and find connection and find support. I think it also drives us further underground into deeper issues. Like, pornography is rampant within the Christian church and honestly within the Adventist church. We're going to talk with Dr. Brad Hinman about pornography, and it's sad, but it's also a reality, and we need to face our reality and say, all right, what can we as individuals and what can we as a church do to better support our members, support those who are struggling with addiction? Because it is addiction. It's something that is not easily removed from one's life. I think, again, a lot of that healing potential comes from conversation. It comes from opening up spaces where we can have positive conversation, where questions can be answered, and where you don't have to feel shame about talking about something that is honestly so pivotal to what it is to be human. It's something that was gifted to humanity, and it is a core aspect of humanity, our sexuality is. And it is a shame to not talk about it. It is a shame to treat something that was intended for such goodness as something that is so evil.
Yeah, and I think that something that you mentioned is, like, you know, as part of us, you know, as part of who we are. And that also goes into kind of understanding that that's not the whole of us.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's not everything that we have to talk about, but it's a part that has been, you know, silenced, a part that has not been explored. Like, I mean, when was the last time that you heard a sermon about Song of Solomon?
plenty of Sabbaths ago, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't happen. People don't talk about it. People think it's awkward. And like, there in Song of Solomon, you have like literally an open book into sexuality. You know, like the bride and the groom are literally sharing with everyone, you know, everything about their sexuality. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But, you know, I think our society has disregarded that, and the church has disregarded that. You know, we have literally a whole book about, of course, this is a marriage covenant, but even throughout the Bible, you know, you have stories about sexuality. You have stories that represent different things and that kind of get counsel to that. So I think engaging in the conversation is definitely the first step. So I'm really excited for people to listen to these interviews and to, you know, just kind of explore the different areas that they're going to be enjoying. So I'm really stoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm really glad that you guys are having a listen, and hopefully this gets you thinking about things in a new way, or spurns some other thoughts or ideas, or ideally more conversation. This is what this is all about, right? We're having open dialogue about these important topics.
Our time is kind of running out, so we're just going to touch on something very short here, just for the last couple of minutes. But something that I want to say before we go into like this last area is, if you are a person that knows about sexuality, that wants to share something about sexuality, a story that you have, maybe, you know, something that you have gone through, or if you're an individual of the LGBTQIA+ community, make sure to reach out to us. We're more than welcome to, you know, put you here on the podcast so you can share how we can reach. You know, I'm heterosexual. Caitlin is heterosexual as well. And for us, you know, we want to keep an open ear and an open platform for you to share, you know, how can people reach and help, you know, Christians that are going through or that identify as a part of the LGBTQ community. So I just want to reach out to those who are maybe listening or that may know someone that may be willing to participate in our podcast. Make sure to send it to us. But Caitlin, as we close out, I wanted to ask you one more question, and that is, how do you think that we can, you know, as just people, share these conversations with family and friends? Like, I mean, how would you start it? You know, a lot of people are petrified, you know, and rightly so, because nobody talks about it. So why should I? Mm-hmm. You know, so how would you approach that kind of question?
Well, I think we tend to be petrified because our mind goes to the extremes. But sexuality can be something as simple as, when is it appropriate to hold hands with the person that I care about? Right? There's a lot more that is encompassed in sexuality than just thinking about, you know, sexual intercourse or sexual orientation, these things that are, you know, these big concepts. I think having, you know, starting with basic ideas of like, what do I feel is appropriate touch? When is it appropriate to, what are boundaries that I want to keep, or what are values that I want to hold? I think that we can start with some of these basic ideas that begin to set a baseline and begin to develop for us. But I don't think, as we talk about this idea of starting conversation about sex, don't worry, you don't have to start by like jumping straight into the deep end. you can work up to it. There's a lot to talk about. I think that would be my biggest suggestion is start with basic conversations with friends, with family, with people that you're dating. Maybe you're dating someone and you haven't had a conversation about, you know, something as simple as what are your physical boundaries. I think that's where you can begin. Start with the baby steps and you'll gradually become more comfortable to talk about things that maybe you have bigger questions on or want to wrestle with a bit more with some supportive friends or family around you.
I hear that. Honestly, that's a very, very good idea. I really resonate with that. I think that's very important, especially for couples, you know, and for people that may be starting a relationship or, you know, just that are just starting to have, you know, conversations about sexuality with their parents or, you know, whatever it is. Just make sure to kind of start the conversation and don't be afraid, you know. Start together and finish together, right? I mean, I think that's a good value. Well, that's been our time for today. We really hope that you're going to enjoy the interviews that are going to come. If you have any feedback, please make sure to reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook, or our email. Go to our website as well. We're going to have new blog posts coming up. We're really excited. If you want to write for Disruptive Adventism, we have a great opportunity for you. Just email us your draft and, you know, we're going to be kind of looking at it, sending it to our editor. And if we publish it, you get paid. So hey, that sounds like a pretty sweet deal to me. Caitlin sounds like, you know, paid. Yes, you know, that's always great. So yeah, we want to help those who are, you know, creating content in the Adventist Church or outside of the Adventist Church. If you just want to share a story or whatever it is, you know, if you're one of our listeners that is not Adventist, yeah, just make sure to send it to us and we are publishing you. And, you know, if we publish you, we send you money. So that's a great opportunity for you. If you have a podcast and you want to be sponsored, also reach out to us. You know, we're trying to help people to start their own podcast and give resources, you know, to, we've been blessed, you know, we've been blessed to have resources. So we're trying to share with you guys so that, you know, we can keep impacting and disrupting this world. But thank you for listening today. It's been a great time. And if you want to collaborate with us financially, go to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Otherwise, please just review us on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. We appreciate your time. We really hope that you also join us in our next podcast and in this series and the future ones. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.